Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, this is Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron. Tony, we still with you? We lost Tony already? Wow, that's not a good sound. Tony hung up on us right when we connected to the show. It's very rude of Tony. We're going to have to hopefully we can connect with him. Tony, yeah. Can't hear you.
Now can you?
Yes.
Okay, it wasn't on speakerphone for whatever reason.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you hung up on us right when we connected. That was very rude of you, Tony.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, we got a lot to talk about this week. We have Jeremy Luschow. This is I just introduced myself. We also just connected again with here. The tornado. There is a tornado.
Hey, it's a tornado.
And Jeremy Luschow, he goes back a ways, way back, I think, to the very beginnings of Fight News Unlimited. I mean, as long as I can remember, Jeremy Luschow sending me press releases for either buying fights or cheap help. He does a lot with the young up. All the great fighters, the mixed martial artists we've been getting. Of UFC connection, despite problems with the Fertitas. We'll see. It's going to get worse when I expose Dana White and his mother's situation. That's coming up, too, folks. She's got a pretty But anyway, we got, I think the better talk about, even though it's not as soon as Canelo. Yes. Pacquiao now pretty much saying they're rap. They make a quit in 2016. So, you know, there is a possibility of the 50th fight with Pacquiao, and that's it. Then Pacquiao retires. But Mayweather is pretty much just saying, I've done everything. That was the latest headline I saw, that he said, done everything, and I'm retiring. So it sounds pretty definitive. But then again, Tony, guess who unretired this weekend and actually had a performance last weekend?
We had a performance last weekend. That was Sugar Shane Mosley.
Yeah. How about that?
Did you see any of it?
I didn't watch any of it, but I read, I mean, the description that I read, even on Sherdog, which is usually him. Interesting. I mean, that's a big deal when you're talking conditioning and you're going into like a 10-round fight, trying to make a comeback. It's a big deal. So I love it when they mention it, like, first sentence, that he's a smoker.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I saw a little bit of it on YouTube. And, like, in the first fight, Mosley won, I think it was a stoppage in the 12th and final round. But it was somewhat competitive. You know, it wasn't a great fight. Mosley was definitely winning. But it was somewhat entertaining. This fight, from what I saw, was, you know, Mayorga really looked bad. I mean, he looked, you know, he was pudgy around the middle. He looked like he really had no interest in being there. He couldn't throw his punches. And the first, you know, the five rounds, you know, I watched clips of it, you know, relatively unentertaining, you know, uninteresting. And then finally, Mayorga finally threw some punches in the sixth round. And with about 5 seconds to go, he just slumped to the canvas. You know, he took a knee and he was pointing like he got hit low. But when you watch it on the replay, no, it was a beautiful left hook to the body in the middle of the exchange, took the air right out of him and put him down to his knees, and, you know, that was the fight. That was it.
Well, I think we have a wave of psychic energy connecting with us right now.
That's it.
I feel,
all right, guys.
I feel present. Psychic genius. it's time to...
Tom, in 30 years, did you ever know?
Okay, you faded out.
Tom, I'm glad you listened, Tom. Transition talk about. I mean, you talk about drama. Somebody we've all watched over the Jimmy Super Flocka is in quite the scandal, murder scandal. Off the top of my head, came up with my little description of what happened.
What happened?
Justice jumped off the top rope and pinned Jimmy Snuka to a 30-year order. Then this is pretty. It's no questioning related to this murder, supposedly of his mistress. So now he's being officially charged with it. They had a big expose about this in a newspaper. Next thing you know, they reopened the case. And worse part of it all for Jimmy, he's now dealing with stomach cancer at the same time as all this shit is going
on. Oh, no shit.
Yeah. 70-year-old guy and 30-year-old murderer being charged with. And I don't know exactly offhand how young the woman was, but... supposedly he came back from a taping or an event and found her dead, but, you know, some problem with his description originally of, you know, she fell or, you know, I pushed her, and then he wrote in his autobiography, he changed it, saying he slipped. She slipped. But that, I guess he told other people that he shoved her earlier that day and she hit her head. So, I don't know, it kind of sounds like it could be manslaughter. I could construe it as that, but it's definitely bad news for Jimmy Snuka. Not good.
Yeah.
And WWE, the second big scandal in a row, you know, first you got Hulk Hogan using the N-word all over the place just after they reconcile with him and give him a big, Now Jimmy Snuka's a murderer that they covered up for. Sounds like. I mean, I'm not going to go out and say that it definitely happened, but Vince McMahon basically came in there and acted like he was a lawyer, it sounded like, here. And there's no recording of the questioning. That's the other thing. That's suspicious. So this is unscripted drama for a scripted sport. Pretty crazy. That was one of the wildest stories of the week, and I saw it when it broke. It just happened to be on Yahoo, and it, boom, broke right when I was refreshing the screen. Whoa, where's this shit coming from? 30-year-old murder. Unbelievable. And you know what's even crazier than that, Tony and Tom, is the link I sent you guys. This guy painting with boxing gloves. What do you guys think about him?
I didn't get a chance to see it, but I mean, that sounds pretty badass.
Abstract painting with boxing gloves, wraps a heavy bag with a canvas and beats the shit out of it. And I mean, I think he could sell his shirts the way some of his shirts look in these shots.
Yeah, well, I'll just say this much: I'm no art critic. I'll confess to the only F I ever received in college, in graduate school, was in an art appreciation class. It was in the afternoon, and then it was dark, and the teacher had a monotone, and I didn't know anything about it, so I just slept through half of it. But having said that, yeah, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I mean, where are we going with this? You know, it's, I don't know. Maybe it's me.
Different, you know. That's what people like about it, you know, and it's actually, there's energy in it, you know, literally, because he's punching a canvas. Same reason why somebody could like roll naked all over a canvas and sell it for a few bucks. Just happens to come out, looks like art, whatever. But actually, the couple of the shots do look pretty good, I think. And there was one that's just kind of looked like he punched it maybe once or twice, and it just came out kind of on the background, like a weird paintball shot with like 8 different colors in it. But he keeps these gloves around too, so they're, you know, the old paint is coming off, and I mean, they show the shots of the room that he uses, and it's all over the floor. He's got bins to the side that he dips his gloves in, and you know, obviously he's barefoot. You want to get it all over your shoes. But it's interesting, you know, because he got into art in the first place because his girlfriend, fiance, was into it. So he followed her into it, being interested in it, and then he just figured, well, anybody can do this. You know, if you choose the right medium, I guess. And that was his thing. So now he's in the Guinness, not the Guinness Book of World Records, but Ripley's Believe It or Not. His last name is Patel. I'm trying to find his first name. P-E-T-A-E-L. And his website, if you want to check it out, is paintboxer.com. Pretty decent website for a guy who does that, huh? So, now, here's one we can all appreciate. Even Tony. There's another one I sent you, Tony. I don't know if you saw the picture, at least. But Monique Bastos is this lady's name. Mixed martial arts fighter. She gets jumped. They try to steal her phone. A couple thieves on a motorcycle. So what does she do? She picks up the back wheel of the motorcycle, knocks both of these guys on the ground, and starts going after them. She just got out of jiu-jitsu training. MMA fighter. I start looking off. The guy ends up in a triangle choke that she has him in from behind.
A reverse triangle, which is almost never seen. That is not easy to get.
While he's begging for his life, trying to breathe while the police are on the ground. How about that? John Jones,
yeah,
running down.
I often felt that's the best thing for a woman to use in the street if she's on the ground. I mean, hopefully a woman won't be on the ground if she's attacked, but if she is, women's leg strength is close to a par with men. It's the upper body that they have the deficiency, and that triangle choke is when it's on, it's on.
Right.
And she had it on. I loved his expression. It's like, oh, why me? Why me? I'm just trying to make an honest living. Why not? Why not? You know, what a stupid idea.
He looked like he already cut up in the face, too. I think she punched him a couple times. He didn't like being robbed.
Good.
Yeah, it's dangerous on the streets in some of these communities. So this was in Brazil. And I think not too long ago, one of the big MMA fighters in Brazil was shot. There was a big shooting. He got killed in a robbery. If I remember correctly, it wasn't too long ago. Something that was a long time ago, Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira, first fight in mixed martial arts. His last fight has come and gone now. 39 years old, he is hanging him up, getting the Chuck Liddell treatment. Going to the UFC executive offices, I guess. They're going to find a position for him. Other than chief punching bag. Who said that? No. He had a good fight his last fight. I thought he actually did better than they gave him credit for. But Dana White just said, you know, I don't want to see him fight anymore. We're going to give him a deal he can't refuse. So the thing I like about that is he's a good representative. The thing I don't like about that is... how do you pick and choose who you give those deals to? You know, what did he do that other guys haven't done to deserve that, that are probably struggling right now and need that maybe more than he does, you know? I don't know.
Well, he's been a big name for a long time. That's all I can say. He's especially in Pride. I mean, I think that he slipped a little off his prime when he first came to the UFC, but he still had enough in him to give some good fights. So,
yeah,
big name recognition.
10-1 is his final record, and you can't mess with that. That's pretty incredible for a mixed artist. especially. And to end your career with Dana White still liking you, it's pretty good.
Yeah, that says a lot.
Okay. Anyway, Fedor Emelianenko, we don't know what the hell is going on with him. But Bellator has been saying they don't want to sign him. It's an interesting story come out this week. They don't particularly want to sign him. They haven't really reached out to him about signing him, but they're featuring him in all these fan fests and stuff. But makes me wonder whether he's just saying he wants to come back because he's going to go and fight in Russia on a couple of local shows, and he's not even going to end up in the UFC. Because what is the UFC going to do if he's just a dud now? He really can't get back to form. It's too late. Are they going to take that chance? Or is he just going to want to step?
I would assume they'll have that contract structured with a lot of performance incentives or disincentives, if you will. So that would be my take on it.
He's going to coach the Ultimate Fighter? Is that what's going to happen? Against who could he fight? Frank Mir. There you go.
There's talk about that, assuming that he does come on board if Arlovsky, because I know Arlovsky would love to have a rematch with him.
Oh, yeah.
I'd kind of like to see him start off maybe not quite or at that level, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I think, I mean, even if he doesn't do that for the rest of his comeback, I think he will start out at least with a couple local shows in Russia just to, you know, give himself those tune-ups.
Right.
Show himself that he can do it. I think it would be smart to do that, but I think a lot of these companies, like, Doc Kovar's a smart guy. He knows. I can't take a chance on this guy sucking. You know? But he was the one that went out and tried to get him back in the first place and made him think about it, too, at the same time. So it makes you wonder, like, why did he go all the way over there to see Fedor trying to get him back? Yeah, if they don't want to sign him. Maybe he knows something we don't know. We'll see. With Fedor, I'm not the biggest story anymore. It's just kind of faded off to, you know, what's going to happen. Everybody's wondering, where's he going to go? The UFC hasn't said much about it either, so we don't know. It was a good one. Tony's going to like this one.
Okay.
Ever hear of Robin Deacon?
Who?
Robin Deacon.
I don't think so.
Calls himself the real-life Rocky, believe it or not.
Oh, dear Lord.
Not for good reasons either. Robin Deacon notches his second win in 53 professional fights.
You know, some of these guys really have persistence. Would that be a good way of saying stubborn?
Up until his victory on points against unheralded Latvian Denis Kornilov in London on Saturday. How would you like to be the guy who
You know, guys, it may be time for both of you to look for a new vocation. Man, yeah, that would, I think I'd have to be on suicide watch. Just get me in a padded cell.
Deacon won 40 of his 75 fights as an amateur. But actually, his professional losing streak is now the longest recorded, according to Australian news.com.au, whatever that's worth. But there's some trivia for the Rain Man. The longest recorded losing streak.
Longest recorded losing streak? Well, I don't know, man, because you got some of them records we've been talking about, you know, especially some of them ones that I was posting the other week of, like, some of the worst fighters of all time. And when you get guys that are, like, 2-74, you know, you're getting some pretty long losing streaks in there.
Right. Well, let's see. We got some big UFC fights going on this weekend. I know we got some big boxing matches. We've got to talk a little bit about Floyd Mayweather.
And, we have to.
Andre Berto. I'm just wondering which undercard bouts is going to steal the show, because Berto doesn't have
the...
And his power is not going to matter if Floyd can stay away from him the whole fight. So what are we going to have there? What's the entertainment factor? I think it's just the safest fight Floyd could have picked, so he picked it. And he must have owed his camp, Andre Berto's camp, a favor for some reason. That's my theory on this matchup. And that's the only thing that makes sense of why he would choose this dude. Another undefeated fighter that could have at least been like, oh, you know, he's younger, but he's undefeated. Just like,
right. You know, he could have went for a Keith Thurman. He could have went for he could have went for Danny Garcia, but that fight would sell. But I don't think it. I think he would be too much for Garcia at this point. I think Thurman would be a better option because Thurman's natural with that weight. Thurman's a little bit bigger of a puncher. That would be a good option. Obviously, Cotto's out of the mix because he's fighting Canelo again. But Cotto's rejuvenated himself, and you know, always with the Puerto Rican following, would be a good sell. You know, I was trying to think. It was you had the Amir Khan factor out there, which I don't think that fight would be very competitive. Khan is very athletic, but he's got such a suspect chin. As soon as he got hit, I think the fight would be over. But that would be a big sell because of Khan's, following in England.
Right. But, you know, Khan's last fight really didn't have everybody saying this fight must be made.
No, it didn't.
So I think that was his fault that the fight didn't get made. Like, to me, that he would have been able to handle Floyd. I mean, he handled a guy that was basically kind of put there so he could show off. And he didn't really show off. He just kind of scraped by. At last. And he dominated, yeah, but I mean, he took a lot of punishment too doing it. So against the guy who's a defensive genius who's going to run around the ring a lot more, how's a guy like that going to do? It's not going to be entertaining, let's put it that way. At least Berto, I give them credit for, he's going to come at Floyd. He's going to be trying.
Yeah. Now, who knows if Berto still has shoulder issues? I know that really derailed his career a few years ago. I was talking to one guy tonight, and guy's like, well, you know, Berto's he's a physical guy, he's a strong guy. I said, Berto's also the guy that, you know, he got beat up and stopped only about maybe a year, 2 years ago by a club fighter by the name of Jesus Soto Carras, who's tough, but he's, you know, more of a stepping stone. You know, he's more of a journeyman. And he really busted Berto up at the end. Berto, the same guy that, you know, lost to Victor Ortiz. That's saying something right there. You know, Berto is a guy, he's had shoulder issues. He's taken a lot of punishment in some of the fights. So even though he's younger than Floyd, he, in boxing years, is much older than Floyd. Now, for Berto to win this fight, and I'm going to sound like beating on the drum over and over and over again, Berto's best chance to win this fight is his jab. Now, that's a wild card because of his shoulder issues in the past. But if his arm is healthy and he's got that hard, you know, he's got that hard jab. You know, he doesn't have that Ali flick type of jab. He's got that jab that is, you know, just it's hard. It's like a Sonny Liston type of jab. It's, you know, it's a thumping type of jab. One that backs you up. One that hurts you. Now, he's got to drop that jab a little bit lower and aim for the chest. He's got to aim for the lead shoulder, and he's got to throw them. And he's got to throw punches to the torso. You know, when Floyd goes to lean back and do that shoulder roll, he's not giving you his head. Take what he gives you. And people can come out and say, "Oh yeah, but you're landing shots on his arms." Those are not quote unquote scoring punches. Those don't score a point. You know what? Tell that to Rocky Marciano.
Thank you.
Guys.
Thank you.
Like Will Mostarza. Hey, Rocky, you're punching him on the arms. You're not scoring any points. And the guys are there saying, yeah, please tell him to stop punching me on the arms because he's breaking them.
Yeah, and the counter to that, Tony,
he's got to do in that fight.
Exactly, because he has to do that because, well, he's not scoring any points.
Go ahead.
On the arm. But what is he supposed to do, headhunt? On Floyd Mayweather, is he supposed to headhunt him to score points? I don't think so. That's great strategy. I mean,
if you hit Hunt Floyd Mayweather, you're just giving him the rounds.
Right, exactly. You're in for a while. You'll be looking at him at the end of the night, and it'll be another one of these shutout sparring sessions. I mean, that's what I think it's going to be anyways. But
exactly.
I can't imagine what kind of draw they're going to have. Now, I have heard rumors about it would be on free TV, but I don't even know what ratings that could get. I mean, what a mismatch.
You know, and it was funny because a friend of mine, and, you know, we always talk boxing. And, like, I met him about 2 years ago, and when he found out that I'm like a boxing guy, like, so he was like a kid on Christmas, you know? And he always wanted to talk to me, and he always talks to me about the fights and everything, and he gets all into it. And he's a big Floyd fan. Like, he's a Floyd apologist. And, I mean, he really is. And, you know, he'll come out there and, you know, even now, as much as being a Floyd apologist, I think he's almost like looking at Floyd almost like Floyd's like a superhuman, because he thought Floyd lost that first Maidana fight. And granted, the fight was close, but I don't think he lost it. I thought he won it, and it's a rough tumble affair. But this guy was like, he's so used to Floyd being perfect that in his eyes he lost because he was perfect. Now, he actually emailed me a couple days ago. His name's Matt. And he emailed me and he goes, what are the chances of Berto pulling off this upset? And I said, well, I personally don't, you know, think they're really that good. I said, the only way is, I said, if Floyd tattoos him so much upside the head and he breaks his own hands and retires on a stool, you know, from just wearing himself out. And he goes, the reason I asked you, he goes, this is a serious question. He goes, would I be stupid to throw 50 on Berto?
No.
And I'm like, what are the odds? He's like, well, right now they're like 16-1, but I've heard some places might be as high. They might be going up to 32-1.
Miracles can happen.
Hey, absolutely. Buster Douglas was 42-1 against Tyson. Nobody gave him a shot at getting out of the first round. You know? And he ends up shocking him, knocking him out. You know, not only knocking him out, but kicking his ass. So is it possible? Absolutely. Now, what are Floyd's biggest flaws? I won't say flaws, but biggest, you know, downsets going into this fight? Well, there's a couple. The first one is, you know, a letdown. You're coming off potentially the biggest fight in boxing history. And I say potentially because I'll say it was not bigger than Ali Frazier won, because that fight was so big. Guys like Frank Sinatra, the only way they could get in the door was to work as a cameraman. But this fight was, okay, I'll say potentially the biggest fight of the century, hands down. You, Matt, you were the A side of the best. For Manny Pacquiao, yeah, okay. And this is the one, you know,
dang, now we're going to call Jeremy. And we want to reconnect Tom.
Hello.
Jeremy, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Now. Hello. Jeremy, do you hear us, Jeremy?
What do you mean?
Jeremy. Hello.
Yes.
What's going on? Hello?
That counts for anything.
So, Jeremy, can you hear me? I don't know why you can't hear me. Just keep hanging up. I need the microphone.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 559-813-0307 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished, hang up or press 1 for more.
Jeremy, hit me. The number is 34.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3. To continue recording where you left off, press 4. At the tone, please continue recording. At the end of your message, press 1.
The call-in number for the show, Jeremy, is 347-324-3228. And we can connect you that way. We'll probably be able to hear you better through there. If you can hear this. Technical difficulties. We got Tom back, though.
All right.
Tom, we're on a fact-finding mission now.
Okay.
Thing, the last thing you remember before we get...
Okay, you faded out.
Is that any better?
Okay. Try again, because there's that big empty space there.
That. Any better?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Better now?
But I couldn't hear what you said before.
Last thing you heard before you got disconnected.
It just started. It just went out all at once.
Press 2 to erase and re-record.
Still on the phone with Jeremy. We left him a long-ass message. We're trying to get you on the show, Jeremy. He's a great guy. We've been doing all the fighters he's been giving us. We really appreciate it. Even if we can't get him on the show, we've got to give him a shout-out. I promise, actually, I hope she's still listening. I promise to give a shout-out to my friend Nancy in Concord, by the way. So, there you go. Talk. Anyway, Sports Agency, they're the ones that gave us all the good interviews with the UFC fighters and all that. And Jeremy Luchow has been with them for at least a few months now, as far as I know. But he used to do a lot of the promotional stuff in California with Tachi Palace Fights. And 559 fights, and a lot of amateur and minor league professional stuff. So, interested in talking to him, picking his brain on what that's been like for him, what this new stage of the business is like. So we'll see if that works out for him, and he gets into the show. One more time, just for shits and giggles. Now that Tom, we know, can hear me, right, Tom?
Okay.
Okay.
3 hours later, though.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message.
We're trying. Anyway, I'm sure he's got a lot of other stuff to do. So we don't get him on this week. We'll get him on another week. We do have a lot of other stuff to cover while we're waiting to see if we can connect on Jeremy or Amanda. From Iridium. The phone number to call in is 347-324-3228. And we've got an hour and change left. But we got a lot of MMA stuff to talk about. Boxing coming up. A lot of Premier Boxing Champion stuff. They've got Premier Boxing Champions going up head-to-head up against Floyd Mayweather. Same day as Floyd Mayweather, Andre Berto. Peter Quillin. You think Peter Quillin's going to put on a better show than Floyd Mayweather? It's possible. That's the sad part. But there's a lot of boxing coming up this week, actually. Durrell is fighting this weekend. Anthony Durrell, I should say. Got a big match this weekend. Yeah, Quillen versus Zafara. I don't know. I'm trying to look at it to Sherdog instead of BoxRec, so of course they don't have near as much stuff. As much as BoxRec sucks, Sherdog sucks worse for boxing record stuff. But anyway, yeah, we'll get to that next week. Not even for the show's digestion period. So we're choice. Anthony Durrell versus Royal Rubio. That's the big one this weekend on September 6th. You guys still with me?
Keep fading out, but I'm catching every couple words.
Well, I can hear you guys good. Andre Durrell versus Marco Antonio. That's the big PBC on CBS fight. It's like Sunday. Chris Christie. We've got Fox Sports 1 in on the action. And then him. Carpenti is a tough dude. He's been in a lot of wars with a lot of people, and you don't want to look past a guy like that, but it's interesting that a guy like Stevenson would fight him, considering all the people he could be fighting. Why pick Carpenti on Spike? Okay, take three. Fight United, combat sports without Jeremy Luchow. Take three. But yeah, we were trying to talk about Alexander Shlemenko filed a peremptory writ to have his big suspension overturned. That's in the news. I can't access the article because my computer's taking forever. I'll have to wait till next week to talk about that one. But Tom was Arlovsky versus Fedor Emelianenko. I didn't even realize that Arlovsky had a fight coming up on UFC 191 this weekend, Saturday night, tomorrow, day after tomorrow. Frank Mir, Andrei Arlovsky. I don't know why I didn't have any idea about this one. I wasn't and keeping up on the UFC news. Splitting too much wood this week. Andre Arlovsky, one of my favorite fighters now because of his use of the spinning, non-spinning, I should say, back fist. One of my favorite techniques so far of punching the bag without, having to worry about only landing boxing-related striking shots. I'm doing it all now. Elbows, backhands. Eye gouges? No. I don't do any of those. But, yep. The back fist. The regular back fist. It's kind of why, if you look at a guy like Brock Lesnar, when he was successful in MMA, he used a hammer fist very well. I used to say it was like getting hit with a canned ham. You just bring the side of the fist down on your face while you're on the ground. And I realized, there's actually a lot of benefits to doing the back fist two different ways. The way you do the hammer fist if the guy was on the ground, and then, the backhand with the knuckles to the face. Both could work, for different situations. But you don't have to do the whole spin. A lot of these guys think they got to do like Emmanuel Newton does in Bellator and do that little crazy spin that he does to get the knockout power. You don't. Arlovski proved that in his last fight with Travis Brown, a guy he trains with, you know, so. And he knows pretty well. They're good friends. And he beat the crap out of him with a lot of regular back fists, which was very impressive to me. And made me say, well, geez, you know, if it works in the pros, it will definitely work in the amateurs. And good news is, I'm under 190 pounds walking around weight.
Nice. You're basically your college fighting weight then.
Yes, basically. Pre-weight cut college weight.
Now, I don't remember if I said this one last week, but this is my usual sarcasm because that's what I do. And we had our fantasy football draft last week, and I'm over my friend's house. Now, a lot of these guys I haven't seen since Christmas tree season last year, which obviously ended the week before I started this diet. Now, I've lost about 50 pounds. I haven't even weighed in about a week or two. I might have lost more. I might have gained a pound or two. I don't know. Doesn't matter. But Dylan was telling me, I'm like, well, like, yeah, I remember when you were at the trees and you were talking about starting it. I'm like, yeah. And the girl that, you know, was like kind of like my coach, my mentor, you know, we used to work together. But the joke I had to make about it was, because I can't be serious about anything, was, you know, oh, yeah. I forget how I put it. She had to go out with me, but I said a little bit more X-rated than that, you know. And they're like, are you serious? Really? Are you going to try to lose 50 more? Now, if I lost 50 more, that would put me under my lowest fighting weight that I did in college, which I almost killed myself to make almost 20 years ago. And then, so of course, I laughed about it. And I'm like, no, man, I'm messing with you. I told my one friend about that last night, joking around. She got all serious. She's like, she's stupid if she says that. You don't need her in your life then. And I'm like, dude, it was a joke. She didn't say anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't be all defensive.
Right. Well, what can you do? Man, it doesn't hurt the weather we've been having. I know you've probably been having the same humidity down there.
Yeah, right.
Crazy. Yeah, you know, I'll sit there. I mean, now I got a wood splitter that's actually mechanical. I mean, it's got an engine and everything, but.
My dad's got something like that.
I still got to split some of the wood that's down in the woods, and, you know, you're just trying to split a piece of wood in half. You hit it 6 or 7 times, you're, like, already sweating head to toe. So, then I got to carry it all up the hill a lot, so I'm getting my good workout. And using the splitter with, you know, taking the wood from the truck, spinning it around, putting it on the splitter platform, gets you a really good upper body workout. Unbelievable. If you're doing it all day long every day, like I do. And the machine is doing all the work of actually splitting the wood, but, you know, you're lifting all those logs and throwing them in the truck, and it adds up over time. You know. It's like chucking spring on your truck by yourself. The compression tool, that was like a Nautilus machine at a gym. We're trying to reconnect here with Tom. Just got to get back on. UFC 191 coming up, Johnson versus Dodson. This is a rematch fight. I just recently read a headline, and again, didn't see the actual article, but the headline was Johnson supposedly was given too much respect by Dodson in their first fight. Dodson says he's just kind of, you know, hesitant because he gave him a lot more credit for his striking than he was deserving, apparently, I guess, but Dodson, we actually talked to his training partner not too long ago on the show. Drawing a blank as to who exactly he was. I think it wasn't Whoop Ass Willie. It was somebody we had right along with him that night. I think we had. But anyway, he was saying Dodson's speed, his Carl. I've known that already, but he didn't really outstanding his last fight. So this Demetrius Johnson fight, I don't know. I mean, Johnson's on quite the tear. He's 22-2-1, 17-6. Johnson is fast, but if that's your only gimmick, you know, and you don't have as much of a well-rounded game as a guy like Johnson, what can that do for you? That's the big question in this fight. What is his speed going to do? Can he add power to his speed, kind of like how Shane Mosley did towards the end of his career? He just suddenly got some power. Maybe people might wonder how he got that power.
Yeah, right.
Get it. He's and as I mentioned, Andre, either one of these guys could be Fedor Emelianenko's first fight in the UFC. And it could be a decent fight. You know, actually, that's what you gotta. I think they want to give him a punching bag. But the contender, I think they kind of want his ass kicked in his first season. Anthony Johnson, Rumble, one of my favorite light heavyweights. 19-5 in the UFC. Had that tough loss to Daniel Cormier. He's going up against Jimmy Manuwa, a guy that's only one on his record. Anderson from the he's fighting Jan Blachowicz, who has a lot more experience in the pros. 18-5. That experience factor plays a role in that one. Paige VanZant, she's 5-1, fighting Alex Chambers, who's 5-2. She was also on the Ultimate Fighter show. Paige VanZant skipped the Ultimate Fighter, but she's barnstormed right into the UFC. She had a shitload of energy her first fight. Surprised the heck out of me. The most energy I've ever seen out of a female fight, period. Boxing or MMA. Wow, you know, she just never stops. Never stops. Always trying to work something different, you know, get out of something else that she might have been caught in if she wasn't so active and energetic. Flipping all over the place against a girl who was pretty well known in MMA circles. Big deal. Will Felder coming in at 10-1, fighting Ross Pearson, who's 17-9. And Francisco Rivera, 4, fighting John Lineker, who's 25-7. Jessica Andrade, who is 3rd, Freddington, 5-5, also from the Ultimate Fighter. Thiago dos Santos e Silva, 19-5, with 2 draws, will be fighting Clay Collard, 14-6. And if we didn't have enough weird news for this week, the guy who shot himself in the hand not too long ago, Joe Riggs, 40-16, will be the second fight of the night, making his UFC comeback, continuing his UFC comeback here. After winning the Bellator reality show, he goes back to the UFC, go figure. Talk about dumping your investment in the wrong place. Joe Riggs will be fighting Ron Stallings, who is one of those guys actually we had got some comments from him. And he was a late replacement and kind of got demolished. But Joe Riggs is a good opponent for him. See how it works.
What the hell was that?
My phone. My new phone. Oh. I got a text message. Okay. To deal with that later. Nazareno Malagari, who is 23-3, fighting Joaquin Silva, who is 7-0. Oh, here we go. There's Tom. Hold him for 5 minutes. Holding off as many predictions. Now he's live.
You know, Rich, you had a very good point earlier about that back fist. because a lot of times guys don't train to deal with that, and it can catch them off guard. And the hammer fist, Dan Bogich, you know, from the early UFC days, and then he fought in Pride, and he was the king of the cage heavyweight champ for a while. And he trained in our gym, and he told me that was the favorite thing he liked to do from the ground and pound position, just nail him with that hammer fist. Hammer fist, hammer fist. So that's a very good
point. And the misconception, I think, is to have the fin with it to get a knockout, a rough up the app. But, I mean, there's something to the Bruce Lee one-inch punch thing that works with a lot of other punches where you don't have, you know, have your fingers resting on the guy's chest to make it work. You know, you could be swinging in the air and just a short range from this, you know, fist to hitting the guy's chin. That range right there, if you do it right, fast enough and at the right angle, can knock a guy out. I mean, I know I've brought it up before, the thing with those white-collar boxing guys that we interviewed, Nate and Ty. Remember those guys, Tony?
What was that?
White-collar boxing, remember those guys? They had the reality show that was totally internet-based and taught how to box. And they had an expert on there who had this footage of these monkeys with the helmets on. And they automatically turned their head sideways. And they would automatically pass out as soon as that happened.
And I don't remember that, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. I talked about it on a couple of shows before, but, yeah, I always like to bring it up again because this guy was from Harvard who was talking about this study that was done on concussions. And, you know, I think it was done more for, like, football and car accidents and stuff like that, concussions. But, you know, it was perfect for boxing, too, because what happens when a guy gets punched on the chin? You know, that same motion of the head twisting to the side that these monkeys were going through with the machine. It was just causing them to pass out. So the point of the whole exercise and the explanation was if you hit somebody on the point of the chin the correct way and their brain slaps hard enough against the side of their head, it's an automatic knockout. Way better than hitting him on the side of the head and risking, you know, maybe getting him on the temple in the right spot and risking hurting your hands because that's the hardest part of the head. Go for the chin, you know, and try to swing through it so hard that it pushes the chin sideways hard enough to do the monkey. Drunk monkey. It was so quick, though. That was the thing. The machines twitch their head. And if you see all the classic knockouts in the history of boxing or MMA, to the chin. That's why they say a boxer has a good chin. Fighter has a good chin. And then a lot of fighters that were great did a lot of work to strengthen their necks and their chins so that that doesn't happen. That you don't let your chin get pushed that far so that your brain slaps. And there are some fighters out there, it's not just the chin. You know, they have a little bit maybe extra buffer zone in their brain. So,
Like Homer Simpson syndrome?
Yeah, like Chris Lieben, maybe, is a good example. zombie fighting, they call it. MMA, anyway. But, yeah, that was one of the most interesting things I've ever watched about correlating knockouts to studies on monkeys. It's pretty intense. Probably the best thing I've seen since Karate Monkey. Remember Karate Monkey on my old Fight News Unlimited?
I do remember Karate Monkey.
It was pretty fun. Karate Monkey. I'm sure it's still out there. He could do the spinning back kick, Karate Monkey. Pretty good. He could do the right and left punches and do it on command, hit the pads and everything, and then he could do the kicks. It was pretty good. Karate Monkey, they called him. One of my favorite videos. Anyway, we got better things to talk about here. What do we got for any boxing? Should we just go to boxing?
Well, do you have the hideous box rack up right now?
I will bring it up reluctantly because Sure Dog sucks even worse.
Yeah. Wow. That's saying something.
Right. we need to talk about. What's going to happen next week then? Ooh. And is
what's going to happen with the Mayweather thing? I don't know, because I'm going to be at the Phillies game celebrating my birthday.
No, I'm not talking about Mayweather. What's going to happen
the
same
team?
Mayweather is fighting in Philadelphia. What's going on, Tony?
Mayweather is fighting in Philadelphia.
Joe Frazier.
No.
What's going on? Joe Frazier.
Oh, you got to think of Mayweather. No, Joe Frazier. Now we're talking.
Bigger than
now that. We're talking. They're doing the statue dedication next Saturday. Right across the street. And I'm just praying because I'm making a whole day. Find any articles in any paper, in any publication, Ring Magazine, anything, because I want to see if they mention me and I'm going to be in my outfit.
Nice. You should do your 50 push-ups.
I want to save my push-ups for the game because, the one game I was at, I crashed a bachelorette party and I was doing push-ups with one of the bridettes on my back.
I wanted to fight, though.
They sent me, because they know I'll do stupid things. Palmer came on me, so I started doing a Hulk Hogan impersonation, and I'm posing, and then when the camera got off me, I said, watch, guys, I'm going to show you the Hogan leg drop, and I promptly fell and sprained my ankle. So I was like, no, Hogan's kicked out of the WWE for racism. I can't impersonate him. So they're like, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, maybe I'll do a Ric Flair, and I'll do the Flair strut, give out a couple big woos, and maybe I'll take my cape off and drop an elbow on it.
Yeah.
They are fully
We had a couple of box rec fights worth mentioning. We didn't even talk about Ebner Mares versus Santa Cruz.
And I got to you out the very end of Fortunately, I've been out so much, I couldn't stay up that long.
I didn't watch much fighting at all this weekend. Goodness. Now the kids are going to use winners come. And the big catchphrase is, winter is coming. It's a much more sinister winter than we have to deal with, despite our complaints about it. three people coming after. Catch cards. Crazy. It was a pretty interesting fight Friday week. Diego De La Hoya. He's 34-6-5 for the Super Bantamweight vacant WBC Youth World Super Bantamweight title. World title is Diego De La Hoya if he wins this one, because it's vacant. Yes. Jesus wins it. Nobody will ask questions about that. Jesus fight of the week. I miss doing those. We used to have so many more Jesuses. The box art sucks now. Here we got a big one Saturday in Germany. Jürgen Brammer, 46-2 at light heavyweight. I'm putting up against Connie Conrad, who's 22. Masternak, who's 35-3 at cruiserweight. Taking on 12-1 Carlos Ailton Nascimento, the Continental Cruiser. If that's not confusing enough, we also the WBC cruiserweight title on the line on this card between Noel Gavor, 18-0, and Daniel Alejandro Sanabria, who's 20-4. Okay, around the world in 80 days on Box Rec. Okay, I gotta go to page 2 already. Saturday. Bear with us, folks. Oh, that's Box Rec. Actually, coming up September 11th. We've got to go to page two on that too to get to the good stuff. Tell us about the event. Phil, while we're waiting. Oh. Tony! Can you hear
what?
Me? Tell us about the statue event.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Tell us about...
Oh, yeah, of course.
Tell us a little bit more about that while we're waiting for a slow-ass box rec.
Obviously, it's not going to be like the Marciano statue dedication where they did it at, Brockton High School. But the Xfinity Live Center, where this is going to be, is what you know, with you several times during his career. So it's kind of fitting that it's going to be there. It's going to be in a better area to get more traffic than, say, where his gym was in North Philadelphia, which is now like a furniture store, because that's not really a good area. I mean, it's close. What would go there? When you have at the Live Center, same parking lot where the Wells Fargo Center is, where the Sixers play, where the Flyers play. Across the street from the corner park where the Phillies play. It's a lot of tailgating going on at Xfinity Live. You've got bars in there, a couple of clubs in there, stores in there, restaurants in there. So it's a place to get a lot of traffic in there. I've been there, many times. So, that's a good spot where, people can go by.
Take seven. Can you hear me, Tony?
I can hear you.
All right. I don't know if we're going to get Tom back, but we don't have much left to cover anyway. I wanted to mention last week we didn't really go over a lot of the results. I said Leo Santa Cruz beat Abner Mares. That was a majority decision, by the way. It's for the vacant WBA Super World Featherweight title. Santa Cruz goes up to 30-0-1. With the win, Abner, 29-1-1. And then we got Hugo Ruiz lost to Julio Seja in the same fight. 35-2 is Ruiz's record, 29-1 is Seja. That was for the Super Bantamweight Interim WBC World Super Bantamweight title. Sergio Lopez, also on that card, lost to Alejandro Luna, who remains undefeated at 18-0. Lopez drops to 19-8-1. And Alfredo Angulo, 23-5-0, had a win over Sergio Lopez in a four-round knockout. Now, Alfredo.
Yeah, I saw some clips of that, too.
Alfredo Angulo RTD'd Hector Munoz, sorry. Munoz was 23-15-1. And Jesse Roman, finally, 19-2, was a welterweight, beat Hector Serrano, 18-3 by unanimous decision. And we went down to the six-round switch. Former interview subject of mine was also on the obviously females in my title. You was 12-2, so I had about half. Which has Shay. They call her the real $1 million baby. Actually, yeah. Interesting story because she moved from because she disorder. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, what kind of disorder?
Seasonal affective disorder.
Is that when you get like depressed when it gets dark out too early?
Yes, and they actually had a thing at the Air Force Academy. They called it the Dark Ages in the winter. Now, supposedly, you know, when it's darker out, you get more depressed all the time. Yeah. A much better experience since. Reading that, I'm kind of fascinated by this, how much it affects your whole life in that case. Have an actual disorder like she does. But a draw, nothing to complain about. I don't know what they do with the title there. Do they have an immediate rematch? Still vacant.
Usually in a draw situation, they do.
Both girls
get the titles vacant, yeah.
Both girls get their own title. No.
Yeah.
Everybody gets their title. Let's see if we got anything else worth mentioning from last weekend. This weekend, loaded up to Saturday. Jorge Paez Jr. is fighting in Mexico this weekend. He is 38-6-2, fighting Daniel Echeverria, who's 18-0. Oh, no, that's the results from last week. Jorge Paez Jr. already beat Daniel Echeverria in his first loss. Interesting. Mexico and the WBC World Team is on the line there in that card on Saturday. Rivas beat Candy Sandoval. Rivas is 33-8. Sandoval was 9-6. So these records Bark Direct is showing me must be coming into this fight. Since Jose Echeverria losing, it doesn't show his loss. So apologize for the earlier ones as we're coming into the fight. Upcoming stuff here, somehow I close that up. Anyway, I think we got Tom back, right?
Right, back on. Here you go.
All right. Good job. Tom, can you hear me?
Okay. Okay, now I got you. You were fading out there for a minute.
What do you think about Johnson Dodson, main event, UFC
190? You know, you can't count Dodson off, but I think as much as he may have improved, I think so far from everything I've seen with Johnson, he just keeps getting better. I don't think he'll stop Dodson, but my money would be on a decision by DJ. The co-main event's the one that I'm hoping you don't ask me about, because if there's one guy that I've been consistently wrong about, you know who that is. Every time I get on Mir's bandwagon, he lets me down, and every time I write him off, he surprises me that way. This one is just almost too close to call. I love the matchmaking, though. I love these kind of fights. Have to still think, regardless, that Arlovski should have a slight edge on defeat, just slightly. Now, I know that Mir's been working his boxing a lot, and he's been very impressive with it, but in the past, Arlovski has shown better stand-up, and I think that'll be the difference. I don't see him really doing much on the ground. So I think I'll slightly go with Arlovski. So the best thing to do now for you guys, go bet on Mir. Just do the opposite of what I'm saying about him. Maybe I'll get this one right.
Now, I like Mir. His last fight showed me that he... And also, he did take a lot of shots to give a lot of shots in that fight. Tiganowski if you're going to fight Mad Mouth back and forth for that fight between those two. And I'm, you know, especially against a guy like Arlovski with those elbows, number one, and the spinning back fists and regular back fists. I don't even think he threw a spinning one, but the regular ones, the knees, all that stuff. It can be a little tougher dealing with that. So we'll see. He didn't really get a chance to really show, you know, over time how he's improved. Like, can he go a full round with a guy like Arlovski in his last fight? Quick win. He got the lights in. He didn't take, you know, too much damage himself. And, you know, and got four. One fight. Okay, so he's got the without knowing to keep your hands up. Greg Jackson, not the best camp in the world, according to many people, by accident. You know, they've got some good training techniques and obviously dramatically improved since he started going there. And think about the guys that he's working with. Even John Jones, who's not, you know, necessarily coming back to the UFC anytime soon, but he's still working out there, you know, from time to time. You got Alistair Overeem, jacked up on steroids all the time. And having his hit. So you got to deal with that. I'm sure there's a lot of other people I'm not mentioning over there. So it's interesting, you know. We'll see. Then Johnson versus Manua. Who's going to win that one? Manua's only got one loss. So I think it'd be a great card. Now, one of the last subjects I think we have to talk about in MMA is Ronda. This is a boxer. Ronda might have weakness in her box by her confidence that she thinks she could beat a world champion boxer. So, now, what do they do? Move the fight up. Oh. They just kind of get another fight. So, to me, that shows much of a threat they think Holly Holm. She does have a little bit more training down there at Jackson for this one and another fight under her belt. She could be dangerous. I think in her last fight, the way she technically dominated it, kept her distance, didn't get messed up in the face at all, and just, I mean, she didn't look dominant, like, you know, didn't leave a lot of damage behind, but she won the fight hands down every round. Didn't ever look like she was in trouble. And I think Ronda Kant saw that and said, if we're going to fight her, we have to fight her soon. And I mean soon. We don't want to catch up. So, it's going to hurt help them because maybe that'll just that Arizona heat out there. No. The champion. And maybe Ronda's camp too, you know. But then they're trying to say that the whole reason behind it is because of the cancellation there in Australia. They had to fill the slot. So, or New Zealand. It was a New Zealand fight that's just a headline now. So, you know how it all comes, right? You know, discipline. We're going to have a boxer. Who's going to win? Holly has a chance.
Well, I'm sticking with my 3-minute time limit. We'll see if I'm right.
Okay. That's a boxing round.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think Ronda's going to do a lot of boxing. I think she's a little too smart for that. I don't care what she's saying. I think when the fight starts, she's going to go back to her strength, and I just don't see Holly having the tools to stop it. I mean, if I'm wrong, we'll see, and I hope I'm wrong. I'd love to see a good fight, but I'm getting tired of this tearing the wings off flies just and watching that. I mean, it's ridiculous. So I just don't see it being any different.
And, of course, I don't even think about the Floyd thing with Rousey. Man, that's still going on. Another week of bullshit with all these little snips about what they're doing with each other and saying to each other, who cares?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, it's like, get a life. Get a life. You know?
Talk about that crap. It's like, life. Yeah, well, that's technically much out of the news, so unless you guys have, you know, good air here, we couldn't get Jeremy on. This is what it is. Sure, he'll get us a fight to make up for it, but we'll just give him a shout out again. He's got a great history in the sport. We wish him luck with Iridium Sports Agency. If you're a fighter out there listening and you have a burgeoning career in the sport, you might want to contact him. It's going to help you get to the right place. So, Iridium Agency. And check them out. Good people. So that's all we have for tonight, folks. And next week we will definitely have a blockbuster day of some kind. I will guarantee it, as I have guaranteed. And with... for fighting next week. We've got the Floyd thing going on. We've got the Joe Frazier stats early, so we know who we're going to talk to. We've got everything.
It's going to be a good one, I'm telling you.
And we don't have any problems with my internet connection. We have a great show. We're going to talk more about Floyd. I think we actually got cut off our whole Floyd conversation tonight because Tom disconnected and Blog Talk Radio got... heated the discussion. Save it for next week.
All right, guys. Just enjoy the fights this weekend.
It's going to suck, though, I think.
All right. All right. Well, gentlemen, have a good weekend. Good holiday weekend, and we'll talk next week.
Yeah. Enjoy that extra day. No wicked cases.
All right. Yes.
Unless you're hungover.
Not me. I'm working out all weekend.
All right. That's the next Saturday. All right, guys. Thanks a lot for stopping by, everybody. Till next week. Adios. Hasta la vista.